The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "You may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. The epistle is from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter, these words serve as our sermon text. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Temptation is as old as man and as new as this very hour. Through the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, the devil gained control over mankind. With sin came death. In order for the grip of death to be broken, God had to send his Son, Jesus Christ, to crush the serpent's head. As we consider our gospel lesson this morning from Matthew 4, 1 to 11, we are privileged to see Jesus' victory over temptation, which is our theme this morning. My fellow redeemed, dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, as we look at the theme, I want to address but 2 points. The first is that Jesus conquered the devil for us. Our text follows the baptism of Jesus. It was at his baptism that Jesus formally entered into his work as our Savior. Verse 1 of our text says, "And Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." This was not Jesus' doing. But after he had received the blessing of his Father at his baptism, it is the Spirit who leads Jesus out into the wilderness to begin the work of redemption. He goes out to be tempted by the devil on our behalf. We all face temptations in life. Sometimes we overcome them. Sometimes we don't. And sometimes when we fail, and others are involved in that process, we can be easy to point the finger at someone else and try to place the blame upon them. We see the first example of that in our Old Testament lesson from Genesis, where Adam blames God for giving him Eve. We are called by God always to step up to the table and admit that we are sinners in need of repentance and God's forgiveness. As John wrote, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The temptations of the devil were an attempt to thwart Jesus' work of salvation. If Jesus had failed, the devil would have won, and the world, you and I included, would have been lost forever. So let's go back to the text. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. Well, that's a no-brainer. The hunger of Jesus at this time must have been severe. But you know, the devil is smart, and he is an opportunist. He often attacks us when we are at the weakest points in our lives. And apart from Jesus and his word, we have absolutely no defense against the devil. So the devil begins the series of temptations against Jesus. The first, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. What a temptation. You haven't eaten for 40 days. And yet Jesus responds with these words from Deuteronomy 8:3, but he answered and said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We know that God does supply all of our needs in life, flowing from his abundant grace and mercy. The second temptation. Then the devil took him into the holy city, stood him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Well, the devil quotes scripture, but he fails to use all of God's word in his temptation. And Jesus replies, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God or put the Lord your God to the test, as other translations have it. So we have these first two temptations, two rebuttals on the part of Jesus, based upon the clear word of God. And then finally, the devil offers Jesus the entire world without the cross. And the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. If one was really a power monger, that would have been the ultimate of temptations. And again, Jesus responds with the clear word of God. Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. This was a first commandment temptation, that of idolatry and false worship. And Jesus answers with the word of God, as he always does. Our text shows us that Jesus, through these temptations, emerges as the victor over the devil. Satan leaves defeated. Verse 11 says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. And Luke's gospel adds this. And when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. What that says is that the devil just didn't pack it up and go on, but he would have been there continually nagging and tempting Jesus during his entire 3-year ministry. Think about your own life for a moment. The devil's timing is excellent. He tempts us in either thought, word, or deed. He doesn't let up. Ultimately, the goal of the devil would be to rip us apart from our Savior, Jesus Christ. When we fail and sin, God calls us to repentance. The victory which Jesus won in our text is his victory for us in our place. In Hebrews 4 and in Hebrews 7, we hear these words concerning Jesus. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because he did this once for all when he offered up himself. That is what Jesus' work of redemption is all about. The sinless one becomes sin for all. He takes our place. He suffers our death. He conquers hell and the devil for us. And in our baptism, we were baptized into his death and resurrection. As St. Paul said, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When temptations come our way, we can take comfort in the fact of Jesus' victory over temptation. And our final point leads us to Jesus, who is our help and strength. Many years ago, when my wife and I were first married, we spent the first 2 years of our marriage working as house parents at Dakota Boys Ranch. At that time, it was boys only. Now they've had girls there for many, many years. And that's a residential treatment center for troubled kids. And in our cottage, we had a Native American boy who had grown up in an environment where fighting between groups of people on the reservation was not really that uncommon, the way he told it. And whenever, you know, there was a little brewing going on in the cottage, whatever, he would ask the question, who have you got backing you? He had learned that you do not go into a fight alone, but you always wanted to have people there supporting you who had your back. When temptations come our way, we have Jesus and his word backing us. We live in and from his completed work of redemption. And when we fail, we come in repentance, and he forgives and he restores. Peter said of the devil, be of sober spirit. Be on your alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And then St. Paul helps us frame the battle in his proper perspective when he wrote, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. As redeemed and forgiven children of God, let us never lose sight that our battle is always a spiritual one. And in all of those situations, in all of those temptations, we go back to the promises of God. For Jesus says, if you continue in my word." And that's why Bible study for every one of us is important. "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Our sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus, and God has freed us so we can serve our neighbor. We find comfort this morning in Jesus' victory over the devil and temptation. And it is our victorious Jesus who says to every one of us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." In Jesus' name and completed victory, amen.